Our lesson today is about something that Emanuel Swedenborg saw in the other world, and he was shown the kinds of spirits that loved money. This is a story about Swedenborg seeing spirits that loved money. And we saw a house built of reeds, being thus full of cracks, standing in a cloud of mist, which continually poured out like smoke through the crevices and three of the walls. The house has holes in it. Going in, we saw a group of 50 people on one side, 50 on another, sitting on benches with their backs to the east and south so that they faced towards the west and north. Each had a table in front of them. On the table, some bulging money bags surrounded by a quantity of gold coins. And we inquired, "Is that the wealth of all the inhabitants of the world?" To which they replied, "Not of all the inhabitants of the world, but of all the inhabitants in our kingdom." Their speech had a hissing sound, and they themselves had what appeared to be roundish faces, which glistened like snail shells. The pupils of their eyes also seemed to glitter in fields of green, an effect arising from the light of their fantasy. Standing now in the midst of them, we said, "You believe, then, that you possess all the wealth in your kingdom?" "Yes," they said, "we do." "Which of you does?" "Each of us," they said. So each of these spirits thinks that they individually have all the wealth of their kingdom. So we asked, "How can each of you possess it when there are so many of you?" They replied, "We each know that all this is mine, nor is anyone permitted to think, still less say, what is mine is not yours. However, we may think and say, what is yours is mine." The coins on the tables looked as though they were made entirely of gold, even to us. But when we let in some of the light from the east, they turned out to be specks of gold, which the people had magnified into coins by a united effort of their common fantasy. They said that everyone who entered had to bring with him some gold, which they would cut into bits and the bits into specks. And by the combined force of their fantasy, they would then enlarge these into grander looking coins. At that we then said, "Were you not born human beings capable of reason? What is the reason for this delusional foolishness of yours?" "We know it is only imaginary nonsense," they said. "But because it pleases the inner longings of our minds, we come in here and entertain ourselves with thinking as though everything were ours. We do not stay here, however, more than a few hours. After that we leave, and every time we do, our minds recover their sanity. Nevertheless, from time to time, our delusionary pleasure overcomes us, causing us periodically to return and periodically to leave. Thus, we are sometimes wise and sometimes mad. Besides, we know that a hard fate awaits those who craftily steal the property of others." "What fate is that?" we asked. "They are swallowed up and thrust naked into some prison in hell, where they are made to toil for food and clothing, and afterwards for a few pennies. They accumulate these pennies and set their hearts delight in them. But if they do any mischief to their companions, they have to give them part of their pennies as a fine." So these evil spirits are very foolish. They believe that they have all the money in their kingdom. So imagine a bunch of evil spirits, one sitting against one wall and one sitting against another wall, and they're looking at all the money in front of them. And they're looking at all the money in front of the other evil spirits. And they're allowed to think, "He's pretending that that money is his. But I know that really that money is mine, and I'm just letting him have it." That's the lie they tell themselves. Further, they know that there's something even worse than this crazy fantasy, which they kind of enjoy. And that is, if any of them try to craftily steal the money, as crazy as it is, from others, then they are sent down to where they have to work just for a few pennies. And even those pennies they have to give away as a fine. They have to lose everything. And even what little they gain then they have to lose that too. They are trapped. That's what makes it hell, because they're trapped. Now imagine if you loved more than anything else money. And I said to you, well, if you love nothing else than money, then when you die, you get to go to a place where you have all the money in the kingdom. And everything surrounds money. You might think, well, great. I love money, so if I die, I want to be around it. Here is the trouble. Money isn't real. Money isn't real. Think about it. What good is money? Well, you can buy stuff with it. You can buy cookies. You can buy a car if you have a bunch of it. Might even be able to buy a house or church. You can buy a lot of things with money. But is the money itself worth anything? It's worthless. Has absolutely no value. The only value it has is that it can buy something else. Now we need to ask, what about those other things? Do they have value? Well, they have value in as much as they serve people. So if you use money to buy stuff for yourself, then the money was serving you. If, however, you buy things for somebody else, then the money was serving the neighbor, your friends and your family, maybe even strangers, people you do not know. In that way, the money serves the Lord. But still, the money itself isn't real. Now, to really understand this, it's worth thinking about the land of the Old Testament and New Testament. Thousands of years ago, people did not have money. They had no money. They had goods and services. They had things like sheep and farm fields, and they had their own labor. And someone might come to a farmer and say, if I work for you, will you give me food and shelter? They wouldn't say to the farmer, will you give me money? Because there wasn't any. They'd say, would you give me food and shelter? And everyone traded these different goods and services for each other. So one man might trade his sheep in order to get a house. Another person might trade his ability to build a house in order to get sheep. But they didn't have money. So they couldn't pay each other with money. Money didn't exist. Then a person came up with this great idea. I'll invent something called money. That way, instead of trading sheep for work, or sheep for salt, or salt for food, or all these different things for each other, we can trade them all for this in-between thing called money. And this was a pretty useful technique. But it led to craziness, as people believed that the money itself was valuable, that it wasn't just something that you could trade for sheep, or for food, or for clothing, or for houses, that it itself, those little shiny coins, had value. It's crazy. Don't fall into it. There is, sadly enough, a special hell just for people who think like that. So avoid it. This is, in many ways, an easy warning. Because right now you're thinking, who would be crazy enough to worship money? So take that into heart. Feel good that this seems easy. And for now, perhaps it is. Amen.